I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Tuesday, September 28th. A student in the Quincy Public Schools Goals Program was arrested yesterday for bringing a gun into the building. Superintendent Kevin Mulvey says the student brought the handgun into the building on Hunt Street because he reportedly feared for his safety outside of school. The student fled to the North Quincy T station after staff told him that police had been notified. Police stopped the train the student had boarded before it left the station, and he was arrested without incident. A handgun was confiscated. Mulvey offered his thanks to police and school staff for their response, and in a letter said the student did not threaten any staff or students with the gun. A homeless man is charged with setting a fire at the Quincy Walmart store last night. Police say 35-year-old Ronald Wilfer used lighter fluid to set fire to some items in the garden center of the store on Falls Boulevard at about 6:30 last evening. The blaze caused extensive damage to the garden center and smoke damage throughout the store. The store had to be evacuated and closed after the fire, but no one was hurt. Wilfer is being held on multiple charges, including burning a building and disorderly conduct. Police say Wilfer is also a suspect in a small fire that was set at the nearby Roach Brothers Market on Sunday night. There was no damage in that fire. Wilfer faces arraignment today in Quincy District Courts. Massachusetts is extending the school mask requirement through at least November 1st. All Massachusetts public school students and staff have been required to wear masks inside school buildings since the start of the school year earlier this month. Under the original mandate, this Friday, schools that have 80% or more of their students and staff fully vaccinated were going to be allowed to drop the mandate for vaccinated people only, but that's been changed. The state now says middle and high schools with 80% of their students and staff vaccinated will have the option to lift the mandate by submitting an attestation form to the department on October 15th. Once a school completes the verification process, vaccinated students and staff will no longer be required to wear masks. However, unvaccinated students and staff will still be required to wear a mask. The rate will be calculated on a school-by-school basis, not at the district level. The state said it must include all enrolled students in the building, plus any regular in-school staff. Norfolk County Sheriff Pat McDermott of Quincy announcing that he's been appointed to represent the Massachusetts Sheriff's Association on the Commonwealth's Law Enforcement Body Camera Task Force. The task force was created as part of the Police Reform Act that was signed into law by the governor last December. McDermott said the task force is an important step in building strong relationships between law enforcement and the public. The task force is charged with developing a set of recommended regulations related to the use of body-worn cameras by law enforcement professionals by the end of next July. The regulations will cover, among other topics, issues of privacy and facial recognition technology, requirements for when body-worn cameras must be activated, and the storage and handling of body-worn camera recordings. The task force is comprised of 25 members made up of representatives from government agencies, legislators, law enforcement associations, and public advocacy groups. As the task force representative for the Mass Sheriff's Association, McDermott represents the interests of the state's 14 county sheriffs. He was appointed to the task force by MSA President and Suffolk County Sheriff Stephen Tompkins. A man who drove his car into the Charles River last night was rescued by two coaches from the Northeastern University rowing team. Police believe the man suffered a medical incident prior to the crash. Car went into the river just after 7:30 near Memorial Drive and Flag Street. Northeastern University rowing coaches Trevor Appier and Beatrice Sims saw it happen from the motorboat they were on. The car began to sink after the man rolled the car's window down. Coaches threw him a life vest and were able to pull him onto their boat and then call for help. The man appeared to be in shock when he was taken to the hospital. The car was submerged in the river for about 2 hours before it was towed away. State police are still investigating. Boston police searching for the person captured on surveillance video ripping down an American flag off a flagpole. This happened at about 4 o'clock Saturday afternoon at Pulaski Park, a small park off Boston Street near the expressway in Dorchester, across from the Polish American Citizens Club. The park honors General Kazimier Pulaski, a Revolutionary War hero who fought for American independence. The video shows the man bend the flagpole to the ground, rip off the flag, and then casually walk away with it. A Polish flag, also at the park, was not damaged. The Polish American Citizens Club helps to maintain that park. A salmonella outbreak in 29 states has now sickened 279 people, including 10 in Massachusetts. While no food source has been definitively linked to the outbreak, the CDC said in a recent update that food samples tested at restaurants have identified possible culprits. Health officials have been collecting food from some restaurants where sick people dined. It's not possible to tell yet which food item was contaminated, but the CDC said it is working to narrow the list of possible foods linked to the illness. No recalls have been issued in connection with the outbreak. There have been 26 hospitalizations, but no deaths reported so far. CDC says the real number of people who got sick from the outbreak is likely much higher because many people recover without needing medical care and are not tested for salmonella. Symptoms include diarrhea, high fever, vomiting, and signs of dehydration. Anybody who has those symptoms is asked to talk to their doctor and report the illness. UMass President Marty Meehan said the state university system is investigating racist emails and other, quote, vile messages directed toward black students at the flagship Amherst campus. The email circulating on social media was sent to black student organizations. The school described the messages as violently offensive. In a letter to Amherst students, Vice Chancellor Nefertiti Walker said there have been other acts of anti-black hate in the community, including messages sent through contact us forms of student organizations and an incident of somebody driving by a group of black students and yelling a racist epithet. UMass IT and campus police are investigating the identity of the email sender. State lawmakers met virtually to talk about proposals for safe injection sites yesterday. Supporters say the sites could provide education about the risk of drug use and in turn lead people to get treatment. Opponents of the bills say the money for the sites could be instead used for other things like treatment centers. One proposal calls for a 10-year pilot program to create two supervised sites where illegal drugs could be consumed. Other bills would decriminalize possession in hopes of changing the way police and the courts handle drug offenses. The sites could also have staff trained to respond to overdoses, sterile injection supplies, and the ability to collect and dispose of used needles and syringes. Well, a neighborhood in Weymouth has turned into a winter wonderland amid filming for a holiday movie. Video of a street in town shows yards and roofs of homes covered in fake snow. It appears to be part of a movie set for the upcoming Apple TV film Spirited, which features Ryan Reynolds and Will Ferrell. The movie is said to be a retelling of Charles Dickens' 1843 novella, A Christmas Carol. Last week, Devonshire Street in Boston's financial district was transformed into New York City during the holidays, with New York City taxis and Christmas decorations placed along the roadway. Reynolds and Ferrell were also spotted filming Spirited in Boston's Haymarket Square earlier this month. Well, the Boston Athletic Association announced a series of celebrations planned ahead of the 125th running of the Boston Marathon, which is scheduled for Monday, October 11th. The opening ceremonies will honor the legacies of Team Hoyt. Following the death of Dick Hoyt earlier this year, Dick was a Boston Marathon icon, as for decades he ran the course while pushing his son Rick. Brian Lyons, who pushed Rick from 2015 to 2019, also died last year. Before this year's race, the BAA will present the first ever Dick and Rick Hoyt Award, which will be given annually to someone who exhibits the spirit of Team Hoyt's legacy. The BAA also announced the Grand Marshals and official race starters. This year's Grand Marshals will be frontline healthcare workers. They'll be announced over the Boston Marathon weekend. Each marshal will be accompanied by past marathon champions, including Meb Keflezighi, Sarah Mae Berman, Bill Rogers, and Joan Benoit Samuelson. The marshals will be driven 26 miles in two duck boats. Patty Catalano-Dillon will start the open races, and 1968 Boston champion Ambie Burfoot will start the men's and women's wheelchair races. Dick Hoyt's son, Russell Hoyt, will be the starter for the hand, cycle, and duo divisions. Christina Welton, great-granddaughter of the late George Brown, will be starter for the para-athletics division. Hopkinton Fire Chief Bill Miller will signal the first rolling start in Boston Marathon history. Marathon is set to begin at 8:02 a.m. on Monday, October 11th. The race didn't take place in 2020 due to the COVID pandemic. Check of business news this morning. Stocks are mixed. The Dow was up 71. The NASDAQ fell 77. And the S&P dropped 12. Asian stocks mostly lower. The dollar rose. The euro was down. Oil at $76 a barrel. Sports Red Sox are in Baltimore tonight at 7. The National Weather Service forecast. Today, scattered showers at a high in the low 70s. Some lingering showers this evening, low 60. Partly cloudy tomorrow, cooler, highs in the mid-60s, partly cloudy in the low-60s for Thursday, mostly sunny, mid-60s on Friday. For the boater, waves about 2 feet. Southwesterly winds, a gust to 20 knots, and then switch around to the north later today, high tide 5:19 p.m. Sunrise at 6:38, set at 6:30. I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy News Update for Tuesday, September 28th.